This has been one of the most exciting weeks that I can remember since I've been here at LifeSong for the past 10 years. There was so much that went on this week. It was just amazing. Our children had their slime time VBS, and if you missed that, it was slime time. The last night I was out there closing us in prayer, and couple of my friends took the tub of water and drowned in me, and then some of the younger friends decided to plaster me with oatmeal-filled balloons, and it was slime time, trust me. Through that hard work and ministry that was put together, we had three children saved through BBS. Amen. Where are my kids? Friday, we had a youth event in here called Rescue 911, and that was part of that video that you saw up there. The little Mike had those marshmallows in his mouth and everything. There, David had given the kids and Mike some marshmallows there, and they stuffed their mouth full of marshmallows, and he would ask them a question, and they would have to try to answer that question. That's what was going on there. But through the Friday night youth rally, it was called Rescue 911. We had 12 youth saved. Yesterday, the power team came out, and it was great. We had two 40-foot water slides out here. One of them was a big water slide. One of them was called the Titanic. And we had a dunk tank out there. It's still out there, I think. But there's just a lot that went on out here yesterday. And there was just hundreds of people that come through here. The Omega Force came in, and before they got up there and did their strength acts, there was three of us got up there and did the Omega Farce. And I didn't want to show those pictures of me trying to turn over that car. Y'all would have just, I just didn't want to show you that. But at the end of it, it was all done. We had 16 that was saved last night. You know, it's been a long week, but there are 31 souls headed for heaven. Amen. Amen. 31 souls headed for heaven. Give God praise. Amen. This is the last Sunday also that we have before we celebrate the 4th of July. It's going to fall on Saturday next week. So with everything that has happened here over this whole week, you know, the theme of everything has been focused around freedom. I mean, that's been the whole theme of this week. Sister Mary's message from BBS was from Psalm 40, and you know, I've read that psalm I don't know how many times, but it's never really clicked on me until BBS, where the psalmist, I believe it was David that wrote it, said that God picks us up out of the slimy pit, is what he says, and sets our feet on a rock. You know, that's what happened this past week. We've had a lot of things taking place, and the Freedom event and everything that took place here. This morning, I have put together a message that I believe God has laid on my heart that I have entitled "The Gift of True Freedom." And if you think back over the past two decades, you know, freedom has been the primary outcry of our entire society. Over the past 20 years, you've heard of people out there talking about freedom, and they talk about freedom of speech. They talk about political freedom and freedom of the press, freedom from discrimination, economic freedom, and probably the loudest of all has been sexual freedom that has kind of surfaced over the last probably 10 years or so. Just to name a few. Guys, people want to be free. People are tired of being bound. They're tired of living their life in a manner that they don't have to live it. People are seeking freedom. They're wanting freedom. They don't want to deal with life as it is when it involves so much of being bound. I want to make a statement that I believe every one of us needs to hear. There's no greater freedom anywhere that could ever be found. Anywhere in the entire world, more so than the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. More so than the freedom that comes through the atoning work, guys, that He did for us on the cross, and through the Word of God that He has given to us so that we can learn about these things. Listen to me. And when we fail to realize this, when we don't grasp this, that true freedom comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, when we fail to get that, we fail to capture or to cash in on what God intends for our life, man. And we usually end up bound to something or bound to someone. Real freedom, real true, honest to God freedom can only come through Jesus Christ. Only He can set you free. That's it. That's the bottom line. We get out here in this crazy world and we get to thinking about freedom, about how we don't want to live at home no more, and we run off and leave home. Man, that's not free. You got to go to work. We don't like the world, so we start drinking and we turn into an alcoholic. Man, that's not freedom. You're bound to a bottle. That don't work, so we start smoking pot. That's not no good either, because you're not free. You're bound to the man that's selling it to you. The only freedom that we'll ever have in this world, man, comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we finally get that as a nation of people out here, God will pour out His Spirit upon us and allow us to truly experience it. We end up bound out here, man, by the world, and it's costing us everything. It costs us our life. It costs us our marriages. We don't like something that's going wrong right in our marriage or something that we think's going wrong. So we want freedom. Just let me get a divorce. I'll just leave. That's not freedom. Freedom comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the bottom line. And if you go back and you read through God's Word, if you really read through His Bible, His entire message, everything that He wrote to us, it's just one long story about freedom. If you go back and you begin in the book of Exodus, listen to me. God's Word tells us about how the Israelites were bound in slavery over in Egypt and how they were crying out to God. The Word of God says He heard their cries. So He raised up Moses. He sent Moses back in to tell them about liberation and freedom and how He was going to lead them out of there and how He sent them to Pharaoh to say, "You let my people go." That whole era, the whole Exodus thing was all about freedom. And then the Babylonians came in. Listen to me. Destroyed Jerusalem. Burned down the temple. Knocked down the walls. Everything. Took the Jews into captivity. Go back and read about the prophets that went in and talked to them. It was all about liberation, man. God was saying to them, "I'm going to get you out of here." It was all about the freedom. It was all about the freedom. Go back and read through Lamentations, and I believe it's Ezekiel. You can read all about that. If you move into the New Testament, man, there was no one that could tell you more about slavery and freedom than the Apostle Paul. He wrote in Galatians 5:1, he said, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom, listen to me this morning, that Christ has set you free. Paul knew what it was like to be bound. He understood all that. He knew what it meant to have freedom through Jesus Christ as well. That's why he wrote about it in all of his writings. And then in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, this is our passage of Scripture for today. Jesus spoke of liberation and freedom when he said this. It says, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside." Do you know why news spread about him throughout the whole countryside? Let's stop there for a minute. Man, because he was preaching freedom. Because he was telling people, you don't have to be bound anymore. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see, the entire message, all the way from the Exodus, all the way through where Jesus is talking here, it's all one big, long saga about freedom and about liberation. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Every one of us, guys, look up here. Every one of us has something in our life that we'd like to be set free from. Is there anyone in here that doesn't? I mean, let's just get real with each other here for a minute. Is there anyone in here this morning that has absolutely nothing in your life to be set free from? No habits, no addictions, no brokenness, no trouble, no hurt, no depression, no sickness, no anything? Is there anyone? We all have something in our life that we want to be set free from. I want to read you a story. Short, but it's a true story. Listen to this. There was an ambitious 45-year-old executive from Nashville, Tennessee, who went to a seminar in Charlotte, North Carolina. The participants in this seminar were challenged to view life from a higher plane and to explore new ideas and to expand the horizons. The man was becoming increasingly agitated because he had come to learn some specific how-tos and not some abstract philosophy. By the end of the second day, he was ready to pack it in and chalk up the whole experience on the minus side of his ledger. But he didn't go. He went out for a jog instead. He felt he needed some exercise and some time away to work out the tension. So he chose a back road near the motel where he was staying. Now listen to me. The story goes on to say that as he jogged along the back road, he suddenly heard a tremendous growl and a barking. The hair on his neck stood on end, and there growling behind a thin wire fence about 3 feet high was a huge, young, hyper Doberman Pinscher, eyes blazing and teeth bared. The dog was about as high as the fence, and with hardly any effort at all, he could have jumped that fence, and the man knew that he was in trouble. And so he stood there for a moment to see how he could get away safely. Then an amazing thing happened. The dog barked and jumped up and down and growled and ran back and forth. But he never did jump over that skimpy little 3-foot fence. In a flash, the man realized why. The dog had become conditioned to stay within the boundaries of that fence despite his capacity to run and jump for freedom. That dog stayed just where he was, gnashing his teeth, running back and forth in angry circles. The next day, the man raised his hand in the seminar and he asked to say a few words, and he told this story quietly and elegantly. He said, and in that moment, I knew that I was just like that dog. The man from Nashville had come to see that each of us live behind self-imposed fences, and that he could not be set free until he acknowledged was a captive. You see, church, what that boils down to is simply this. we can become conditioned to. We get conditioned to all of those things in our life. And listen to me. And we learn to live with them. And we learn to say that it's just how it is. That's the way life is. That's just how life is. Well, let me tell you how life really is. We are just like that man from Nashville. We are no different than that man from Nashville. We cannot be set free. We will never be set free from those things that bind us until we come to understand that we are being held up captive by them. That's the bottom line. So with this in mind, I want to ask you a question. Listen to me. What is it in your life this morning? What is it that you would like to be set free from, that you would like to experience true freedom from? I want you to think about it right there, just now. What is it in your life that you want to experience true freedom from? What name, listen to me, do you put on that chain link fence? What do you call it? That chain link fence that has you bound, do you call it sickness? Is that your fence? How about depression? Anger? How about addiction? Addiction? What do you call the chain link fence that's holding you captive? What do you call your captivity? Hurt? Brokenness? What is it? In verse 18 of this passage, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Well, listen to me, because here's your good news this morning. You don't have to be held captive to the things of the flesh anymore unless you want to. Do you understand that? You don't have to be held captive to the addictions anymore. You don't have to be held captive to the anger and the hurt and the brokenness in your life anymore unless you want to be held captive. There's too many people, look up here, that run around hollering, "It's the devil," and it ain't got nothing to do with the devil. It's got to do with us. It's got to do with us holding on and staying behind our little chain link fence because we don't want to get on the other side. You can be set free, man. God's Word says you can be set free. And if we can't trust in what God's Word says, what are we doing here? Why don't we just go home? Why don't we just go home if that's the case? God's Word says that we don't have to be held captive by the things of flesh anymore. God, the good news is this. We don't have to listen to the voices of the world anymore. We don't have to live the way they tell us we have to live anymore unless we choose to do so. You are a child of the King, the Utmost High. You are a child of God. We don't live by the rules of the world anymore. So we don't have to live under the rules of the world anymore. Jesus went on there in verse 18 to tell us why we don't. Look at this. He said, "He," speaking of God, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Leave that up there. Do you know what that says in just a broken down translation? God sent me to tell you that there's freedom for you and that you don't have to stay behind that chain link fence. God sent me to tell you there's freedom for you. That's the bottom line. God sent me to tell you that you don't have to be afraid to jump over that fence that's been holding you captive. You don't have to be afraid. God said it's there if you'll just reach out and take it. He went on there in verse 18. To say that He sent Him also for recovery. He said for the sight, sight for the blind. When I read that, all I could think about was that story in 2 Kings about Elijah and his servant that was in the city of Dothan. Aram and Israel were at war with each other. Listen to me. And Elijah, being the prophet that he was, God speaking to him and through him, showed him all of the plans of the king of Aram. So Elijah, being a man of God, he goes and tells the king of Israel what's taking place. Well, the king of Israel, with all of this information now about his enemy, he makes plans, and I mean, they can't beat him. Well, the king of Aram, he says, wait a minute. He said, something's going on here. And they told him, they said, it's the prophet. It's Elijah, man. He's telling them everything you're doing. So the king of Aram says, go get him. He sends a detachment of men to get Elijah. He says, because I got to stop this. I can't win this war like this. They found out he's in Dothan. So they send a detachment of men to Dothan. And they goes in there, and Elijah and his servants there. And the next morning they wake up. Elijah's servant goes outside the house and looks around. And sure enough, the king of Aram's men, the whole detachment, is out there. And the servant sees them on their horses and their chariots. And he freaks out, man. And he comes running back into the house. And he says to Elijah, he says, man, he says, you got to see this. I don't know what's going on out here. We are in trouble. We are in trouble. Elijah looks out there. And Elijah said, listen to this. He said, don't be afraid. He said, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elijah prayed. Listen, he said, oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see. It says, then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. You see, this is what Jesus meant when he said, I have come to give you recovery of sight for the blind. He says, I've come to take the scales off your eyes so that you can see the power that is behind you, man. He said, I've come to help you understand that he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. He said, I've come to help you understand that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He said, I've come to give you recovery of sight. He said, I want you to understand. I've come to help you see that you don't have to live behind that chain link fence of addiction and depression and anger and hurt and brokenness. Unless you choose to do it. Unless you choose to do it. Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free and restore your sight so that you will never have to live that way again. Well, let me ask you something. Look up here. If Jesus came to give us all that, then why are we living in it? Why haven't we reached out and got some of that freedom? Do we not believe the Word of God? Does this Bible not mean anything except words? Is it something that we pick up when we're in trouble? Is it something that we believe on our terms? Jesus said we have been delivered. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It is available to all of us. He said in verse 18 also, he said, and I've come to release the oppressed. Whew. I read that and I sat back in my chair for a minute. There's a difference between being possessed and being oppressed. I want to clear that up real fast. Here's possessed. Possessed is a condition where one or more of Satan's spirits have inhabited the body of a person and taken complete control of it, expressing their personality through that person. That's possession. Perfect example of that is in Luke 8:30, when this man was in the tombs, and Jesus went to him, and Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he said, because many demons had gone into him. This man was possessed. Now, oppressed, where Jesus said, "I have come to release the oppressed," oppression is a form of harassment by evil spirits that happens when a door in your life has been opened to Satan's influence. Do you understand what I just said? Oppression is what happens in your life when you open a door to allow Satan to come into your life, to attach himself to you. If you open a door for Satan to come into your life, listen to me, he will come. If you open a door for one of his little demon spirits to attach itself to you, he will fill your life with nothing but grief and hurt and confusion and pain. He will trouble you all the days of your life if you open that door for him. Now, listen to me. There is a big difference between possession and oppression. A child of God cannot be possessed by a spirit of Satan. Evil and light, they can't live in the same body. I promise you, light will overshadow it every time. So a person who is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be possessed. But you can be oppressed. You can have your soul saved and still have a demon wearing you out. And that's what happens in our life. You remember that series that I preached here a while back on authority, and I shared with you how Satan's spirits will talk to you in a first-person language? And how they will talk to you and they will say to you, "I can't quit that. I can't stop. I've never been able to do that." You see, they won't say, "You can't stop." They'll say, "I can't stop." Because if they can make you believe that what you're hearing is your own thoughts, they will take control of your life. They will take control of your life. And once they get a hold of you, they will begin to oppress you. And yes, when you die, you'll go to heaven, but you're going to live a life of hell here on earth. Do you understand? Do this. That's oppression. And that's what Jesus said, "I've come to deliver you from." I've come to deliver you from the grief and the confusion and the garbage that comes when we are oppressed. The bottom line is simply this. If you are not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, listen to me. If you are not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have freedom. And if you're fooling yourself, telling yourself that you have that right relationship, and you know deep down in the bottoms of the depths of your soul that you don't, you still don't have freedom. You can't lie to yourself, and you can't lie to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have freedom. And when you don't have freedom, Satan will do with you whatever he wants. Jesus said, "I've come to release the oppressed. I've come to get him off your back." That's what he said. And then in verse 19, he sums it all up. Listen to me. When he said, "I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He's talking about the year of Jubilee, because he's still living under the law at this time. And if you go back and you read under the Old Testament laws, every 50 years, the year of Jubilee would come. And when this year of Jubilee would come, all of the debts were forgiven. Everything. Didn't matter what you owed. On that year of Jubilee, all debts were forgiven. All slavery, all slaves were set free. Everything that you had lost or sold out or whatever was returned back to you at the year of Jubilee. You see, and this is what Jesus is saying here. He said, I've come to proclaim the Lord's favor. The year of Jubilee has come to you. Listen to me. Jesus is saying in this passage, I've come to cancel all of your debts. I've come to set the slaves free. I've come to give back to you what God originally gave to you. He said, that's why I came. He said, but you have to want it. Not just, oh, I'd like to have it. Yeah, I'd like to have it. It's not about liking to have it. Liking to have it won't get it. It won't get it. Jesus said, I've come to give it to you if you really want it. Let me close. Have you ever wondered why children never hesitate to ask for anything? They'll ask for anything. It's kind of ridiculous, but to them it's not. If you've been around this church all week, working with VBS and Friday night in here and Saturday out there with those hundreds of kids out there and all that stuff going on, then you probably understand what I'm talking about when I say they'll ask for anything. They'll ask you if they can eat candy for breakfast. They will. They'll ask you to buy a toy every time you're in a store. I want that. I want that. Oh, I want that. They'll ask you if they can stay up past their bedtime on a school night, knowing that they're going to be tired in the morning. Kids will ask for anything. But on the other side of that, they will ask for things on a more practical level too. Mom, I'm thirsty. Mom, I need a new pair of gym shoes. Don't they? Dad, I need some money. Dad, can I have the keys to the car? Kids will ask for anything. They're not inhibited. Children will, I mean, they're just wide open. But let me tell you something. The reason that they come to their parents so freely is because they are dependent upon them. Stay with me here. They come to you as parents because they depend on you. And they understand, listen to me, they understand that if they don't ask, they won't receive it. Children get that. God tells us that. God says that you can literally ask Him for anything. That's what He says. He said, you can ask Him for anything as long as you will give Him the praise if He gives it to you. Sometimes we rob God of His glory and we rob ourselves of our joy because we don't ask. I have a question. And this is going to be my last question. What is it in your life that you need to be set free from? Listen to me this morning. What do you call that chain link fence that stands about this high in front of you? What is it in your life that you are trapped behind and you just can't see? Sickness, addiction, hurt, brokenness, anger. What is it? What is it in your life that you need to be free from? In that story, the first one that I read to you, the man went out for a jog. I love that. He went out for a jog. And he found freedom. I'm going to make a suggestion to you. I'm going to suggest to you that you would stand to your feet. And if you need to be set free from something this morning, then you need to jog. You need to jog yourself right on up here to this altar. You need to jog your bad self right on up here. And you need to say, God, I need to be set free. And you need to tell Him specifically what it is. You need to say, I need to be set free, Lord. And you said I could have it. Some of you, you just stand there and hold on to your chair and walk out of here with what you came in here with. There's not a person in here. Not one of you. Not me. Not any of you. That doesn't need to be set free from something. This may be the day that God sets you free. Won't you just jog on up here and get you some? Let God be God. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Children ask for anything, and if you don't have the heart and the mind of a child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. So set this free. I got no trouble there. Man, the altars are open. You got to do it this way. But freedom starts right here. Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, your blessing would fall fresh upon this place.